Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFosse Corporation, LLC.
The world is full of mysteries. It's full of strangeness. And it exists with oddities. That's what we do on this show. We examine the strangeness, the mysterious, the oddities. This is Terry's Mysterious Moments, and I am your presenter, Terry from Texas. This is Season 8. Welcome if it's your first time. Welcome back if you've been here before. Go with us on this trip while we look at cryptids like Bigfoot, the Yeti, the Loch Ness Monster, and maybe even Thunderbirds. Be with us while we examine stories of legends such as werewolves, vampires, witches, ghosts, and hauntings. Thank you for being here. Enjoy the show. Hello, my Mysterians. This is Terry from Texas, your presenter on Terry's Mysterious Moments. This episode, we are going to deal with the upcoming total solar eclipse and what it's doing to the minds of people. Why are people going bat guano goofy over this total solar eclipse? Don't they understand that it's a natural event in the life of our solar system? It's a recurring event. It happens a lot. We just don't see it all the time. Well, gather around, children, and let Uncle Terry tell you all about it. We know that a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, thereby obscuring the view of the Sun from a small portion of the Earth, either totally or partially. Such an alignment occurs approximately every 6 months. During the eclipse season in its new moon phase, when the moon's orbital plane is closest to the plane of the Earth's orbit. Now there's going to be some silly science in this, and I say silly as in ridiculous to repeat, but somewhat necessary. In a total eclipse, the disk of the sun is fully obscured by the moon. In partial and annular eclipses, only part of the sun is obscured. Unlike a lunar eclipse, which may be viewed from anywhere on the night side of the Earth, the dark side of the Earth, a solar eclipse can only be viewed from a relatively small area of the world. As such, although total solar eclipses occur somewhere on Earth every 18 months on average, they recur at any given place only once every 360 to 410 years. I remember as a child when we were told there's going to be a total solar eclipse or there's going to be an eclipse on such and such a day. We would gear up at school and get our Mr. Wizard hats on and we would make things like pinhole cameras with which to see the eclipse. Without having to look at it. We didn't need smoke glass. We didn't need special sunglasses. We could have used them, I'm sure. But we had these other ways of doing things that didn't cost an arm and a leg. They just cost a cardboard box and some tinfoil. We would get ready for this eclipse and boom, in Central Texas, it would be so cloudy, you almost couldn't even tell if the sun was up or being eclipsed or what. I do remember when I was a junior college, we had a particular eclipse that was a fairly serious eclipse. Out walking across the parking lot going to my bus, it was like I was in a room lit by a lamp on a ceiling fan with four bulbs in it and having two of the bulbs go out. It was just partial lighting, weird, kind of made you feel funny. The light was forevermore strange. But we got through it. We lived. The world kept spinning. No global cataclysms, no weather catastrophes, no dogs and cats living. Wait a minute, skip that last one. Nothing untoward happened. So why are people preparing for a time and earth-ending situation this time, it seems? If the moon were in a perfectly circular orbit and in the same orbital plane as Earth, there would be total solar eclipses once a month at every new moon or dark of the moon. Instead, because the moon's orbit is tilted about 5 degrees off of Earth's orbit, the eclipses usually miss Earth. The shadow of the eclipse misses Earth. Solar and lunar eclipses therefore happen only during eclipse seasons, resulting in at least 2 and up to 5 solar eclipses each year, no more than 2 of which can be total. Perhaps the benevolent being, the creator, you know, big G-O-D, God, realizes that after however long we feeble-minded creatures have inhabited this big blue marble, we still get majorly shook whenever something changes in our daily routines. Total eclipses are more rare because they require a more precise alignment between the centers of the sun and moon, and because the moon's apparent size in the sky is sometimes too small to fully cover the sun. Listen carefully, kiddies. An eclipse is a natural phenomenon. In some ancient and even some modern cultures, solar eclipses are attributed to supernatural causes or regarded as bad omens, just like this one that has people foaming at the brain. Astronomers' predictions of eclipses began in China as early as the 4th century BC. Eclipses hundreds of years into the future may now be predicted with high accuracy, although I don't know why we'd need to know it. So we're coming up on a solar eclipse. A total solar eclipse. Totally. Don't worry. Things are not as bad as they seem. At least not regarding the solar eclipse. From believing in sun-swallowing monsters to screaming in terror, people have responded to the brief disappearance of the sun in strange ways for millennia. In many cultures, the darkening of the sun meant the gods were very, very angry with humanity and about to inflict some major punishment. Often, that meant in order to appease them, these little G-O-D-S gods, you had to kill someone. And believe me, humans got really good at killing people en masse. In Transylvania, people believed an eclipse was caused by the sun turning its back on the sins of humanity. The Inca viewed eclipses as a sign that the sun god Inti, now that's a little G-O-D god, Inti was angry and required appeasement with offerings. For the Native American Tiwa tribe, an eclipse meant that the angry sun was leaving the sky to go visit his home in the underworld. Basically, the sun was taking his ball and going home. Although a total solar eclipse only lasts a few minutes, the rare phenomenon has a long history of eliciting all sorts of odd reactions from the beings it briefly blankets with daytime darkness. Aztec priests predicted that if there was a solar eclipse accompanied by an earthquake on the date 4-Olin, O-L-L-I-N, the world would end. So every year on 4-Olin, they would perform a ritual, human sacrifice. As the priests likely knew, seeing as how they were supposed to be so sophisticated as astronomers, there would be no solar eclipse on 4-Olin until the 21st century. Solar eclipses on other dates were also met with human sacrifices. According to some, the Aztecs mostly sacrificed fair-skinned prisoners to appease the gods on eclipse days. But that report comes from a 16th century Spanish missionary, so take it with a huge grain of salt. The idea that a solar eclipse meant a demon was swallowing the sun shows up in eclipse folklore across the globe. And if you look at pictures of a partial solar eclipse, you can see why it's easy to imagine that some huge cookie monster creature is slowly taking bite after bite out of the sun. In ancient China, the earliest word for eclipse, shi, S-H-I-H, meant to eat, and eclipses were believed to be caused by a dragon eating the sun. In Vietnam, the sun eater was a frog. For the Native American Pomo, it was a bear. In Yugoslavia, it was a werewolf. Go Yugoslavia. And in Siberia, it was a vampire. In ancient Egypt, Apep, the serpent of chaos and death, opposed Ra, the sun god, and was always trying to reach Ra's skyboat to devour the sun disk. But in the end, Ra was always able to fight him off, and the sun would come back. In ancient India, Rahu was an immortal demigod with a severed head. He had a grudge against both sun and moon. They were the ones who convinced Lord Vishnu to chop off Rahu's head in the first place, after he drank the nectar of immortality. So he chased them endlessly across the sky, and sometimes caught them. But whenever he managed to swallow either sun or moon, his victory was short-lived. They'd pass out the stump of his throat shortly thereafter. The Vikings made loud noises to scare off Skoll and Hati, or Hati, H-A-T-I, the two wolves of Norse mythology who chased the sun and moon and occasionally caught them, causing an eclipse. Centuries later, a woman, anxiety-ridden over the doomsaying associated with the 1748 solar eclipse, locked herself up in a room and cut her arm in such a manner that she bled to death, according to the London Evening Post at the time. Some of the strangest responses came in previous centuries when understanding of what causes these stellar abductions was less widespread. But we enlightened modern folk are not immune from silliness. In her 1982 essay, Total Eclipse, Annie Dillard recalls hearing screams of terror and or elation at the sight of a solar eclipse that swept across Washington State in 1979. Steve Rushkin, a historian for astronomy and author of America's First Great Eclipse, discovered a commonality too. He wrote, "What I find most amazing, having studied eclipses throughout history, is that no matter the time period or the scientific knowledge or lack thereof, human responses to an eclipse are consistently and universally expressions of awe and wonder, and even fear and terror." He said Norse wolves weren't the only creatures, according to ancient myth and legend, causing eclipses by devouring the sun. The Maya, who learned to predict eclipses, sometimes depicted them as a giant snake. The Inca seemed to believe a jaguar swallowed the moon to cause a lunar eclipse. One rather unique and largely unknown response to an eclipse is found in an 1886 account of Australian Aborigines, Ruskin says. They reportedly believed that the eclipse was caused by another tribe up on the moon itself, a people who were sick and angry and were taking their bad frame of mind out on the Australian Aborigines below. Ancient Babylonians had an understanding of mathematics advanced enough to predict eclipses also, but still saw them as bad omens for their royalty. They often put a commoner on the throne during an eclipse, so that if some actual bad, dark doings befell the king, they would fall upon the fake king instead. Then after the eclipse was over and everything was hunky-dory, The regal stand-in was rewarded for his service, not by thanks and not by treasure, but by being killed, just to be sure that any bad eclipse cooties died along with him. Let me tell you, that's harsh. There were some court astronomers in ancient China who met a similar fate when they failed to predict an eclipse, allegedly because they were both drunk. The 4,000-year-old anecdote later inspired a poem that, for some reason, has been passed down for centuries. Here lie the bodies of Ho and Hai, whose fate, though sad, was visible, being hanged because they could not spy the eclipse, which was invisible. Not Edgar Allan Poe, for sure. Arguably, the most famous solar eclipse was the one that coincided with the death of England's King Henry I in 1133. Chaos and civil war followed. An eclipse in Turkey in 585 BC had the opposite effect. Warring armies took it as a sign from the little G-O-D-S gods that perhaps they should try to get along. Just like that, the story goes, 15 years of fighting came to a sudden end. After the eclipse of 647 BC, the Greek poet Archilochus found himself considering what other tricks the gods might have in store for the mortals below. He wrote, "After this, men can believe anything, expect anything. Don't any of you be surprised in future if land beasts change places with dolphins and go live in their salty pastures and get to liking the sounding of the waves of the sea more than the land, while the dolphins prefer the mountains." Obviously, gooberdom is not a recent infection. According to Ruskin, an eclipse had even darker implications for native Jamaicans when seafaring explorer Christopher Columbus used the event to convince locals that they had best feed his crew or risk angering his god. Must have been a little G-O-D. The arrival of the eclipse helped Columbus subjugate the natives. And that ranks among the higher of the jerk moves, Chris. Perhaps history's strangest response to a total solar eclipse was the least hysterical one. When the sun vanished shortly after rising early in the morning over Europe in the year 1230, local workers apparently thought little of it. They just went back to bed. According to historian Roger of Wendover, only to be astonished when the sun had regained its normal brightness within an hour. That was voted best late-to-work excuse by the collective staff here at Terry's Mysterious Moments. Me being the collective staff. More often than not, eclipses were a source of fear and anxiety, Ruskin continues, not until the period known as the European Scientific Revolution of the 16th and 17th centuries do scientific explanations of the motion of the Earth, Sun, and Moon tend to alleviate such anxieties, at least among Europeans. This scientific enlightenment allowed us to take a deep breath and look around during eclipses. Turns out the event has an odd effect on animals, too. A crow was the only animal near me. It seemed quite bewildered and croaking and flying backwards and forwards near the ground in an uncertain manner, wrote John Couch Adams about one 19th century eclipse. So, having looked back at some of the irrational, illogical, and downright bizarre reactions to this trick of trigonometry, try not to judge. Even today, the myth that an eclipse is somehow a danger to pregnant women persists. There's a woman up in Austin, Texas, who is Lipan Apache. She is a medicine woman, it says. And she says that during the eclipse, she and other Native American people should be inside, out of the way of the eclipse, not watching it. She says that there's a lot to do with tribal beliefs and things like that. I don't I don't question her beliefs. I don't question her intelligence. I don't want to give her short shrift on this subject, but I don't really know much about her. When the thing that sustains all life suddenly vanishes from the sky, who's to say it might not trigger some deep primal instinct that supersedes the more rational responses of the conscious mind? The ancient and Middle Ages aren't the only times when spiritual beliefs were being manipulated by eclipses and other events, other natural events. They are still being viewed as harbingers of many things, to include God's wrath on the sinful world, to preclude Jesus Christ's second coming on earth, or to warn of the end of the world. This is nothing new. Mankind has put things like eclipses into the armory of God, the Creator, as ways to turn people toward God. It is no difference with this one. I've already seen several clips on the internet recently expounding the biblical significance of the timing of this event, of the path of this event, and other obscure facts or sniglets with a religious sounding tone. Now, I don't doubt their sincerity either in their beliefs, but these are the same types of people that clothed the 1973 appearance of the Christmas comet, the comet Kohoutek, with great spiritual significance because they read more into it than it needed. They are similar to the Heaven's Gate cult, who, back in 1997, believed that there was a spaceship hiding behind another comet, the comet Hale-Bopp, and that if they all committed suicide, their spirit bodies would be able to board that ship and get into the kingdom of heaven. Warning! Danger, Will Robinson. Looking directly at the sun can lead to permanent eye damage, so special eye protection or indirect viewing techniques are used when viewing a solar eclipse. Only the total phase of a total solar eclipse is safe to view without protection. Enthusiasts known as eclipse chasers or umbrophiles travel to remote locations to see solar eclipses, and they carry and employ a plethora, a variety of eclipse watching gear. So, if a sky gazer you must be, get your eclipse glasses ready or your pinhole cameras. The Great American Eclipse is on its way. On April 8th, there'll be a total eclipse over North America, the last until 2044. If you want a good look at it, but don't live in the path of totality, you shouldn't wait much longer to book accommodations and travel to a spot on the path. Or better yet, stay home. Watch it on TV or the internet. There will be nothing magical about standing in the dark with a bunch of strangers. Well, anyway, the 2024 total solar eclipse will happen on Monday, April 8th, like I said. The Great American Eclipse will reach the Mexican Pacific coast at 11:07 a.m. Pacific Time or 2:07 p.m. Eastern Time, and then traverse the U.S. in a northeasterly direction from Texas to Maine and then on into easternmost Canada. The eclipse will cross over the Pacific coast of Mexico and then head northeast over mainland Mexico. Then it will enter Texas, go through Oklahoma, northern Arkansas. Then the eclipse will be over Illinois, and 5 minutes later will be traveling over Indianapolis, Indiana. Folks in northwestern Ohio will be treated to the eclipse by 3:15 Eastern Time, and it will then travel over Lake Erie and Buffalo, New York by 3:20 p.m. Eastern Time. Over the next 10 minutes, the eclipse will be seen over northern New York State, then over Vermont, and by 3:35 p.m. Eastern Time, the eclipse will work its way into Canada and off the eastern coast of North America. Again, as with any solar eclipse, it's critical you keep eye safety in mind. During the eclipse, and especially during the periods before and after totality, don't look directly at the sun without special eye protection. Also, be sure not to look at the sun through a camera, which includes the camera on your phone. Don't use binoculars. Don't use a telescope. Don't use any other viewing device. This could cause serious eye injury. Sunglasses are not enough to protect your eyes from damage. If you want to view the eclipse, you will instead need solar viewing glasses that comply with the ISO 12312-2 safety standard. Again, that's the ISO 12312-2 safety standard. Anything that doesn't meet that standard or greater won't be dark enough to protect your eyes. If you don't have eclipse viewing glasses handy, you can instead use indirect methods for viewing the eclipse, like my old elementary school science project, a pinhole projector. Look it up on the internet. You can probably find directions on how to make one. They're very simple. So, view the eclipse live if you must. Just don't trash my state and the other states involved. People still have to live here. So they, meaning we, would appreciate no Woodstock-level destruction to be done. There are some areas in Texas that have already called for disaster relief based on the expected influx of people who have just got to view the totality. Frankly, the whole hullabaloo is a mystery to me, and I am just praying for a heavy overcast. Sorry. Yes, I'm a buzzkill. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed what I presented to you. If you got to see the eclipse, be careful. Use the correct safety measures for your eyes. If you get good pictures of it, send me some. terrysmysteriousmoments@gmail.com. Y'all have a great week. Be careful. Be safe. See you next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.